That's the problem in a lot of these immigration conversations is that immigrants get lumped into like this one big category, and there isn't like an easy path to citizenship. And I think a lot of what I see is that there's just a lot of misconceptions about our immigration system, which is extremely complex and difficult to understand.
This is Roughly Speaking, Newsroom Edition, the flagship podcast of the Baltimore Sun, featuring stories from our city and our state that you can't get anywhere else. I'm Baltimore Sun government editor John O'Connor, filling in this week for Pamela Wood. Thanks for joining us. Today, we welcome Baltimore Sun digital journalist Thalia Juarez, who spent much of the last week on the front lines as immigrants in Baltimore and in the state seek answers and refuge from ongoing threats of deportation. This came after President Donald Trump announced on Twitter last week that the federal government would deport millions of undocumented immigrants over the weekend. Later, he tweeted he would delay that action for 2 weeks to see if Democrats and Republicans can get together and work out a solution to the, quote, asylum and loophole problems at the southern border. But mass deportation is not that simple. The federal government can't force state or local officials to carry out federal law. States aren't prohibited from sharing information or assisting the federal government in its immigration policy, but they certainly don't have to. That can present a series of challenges in places like Maryland and in sanctuary cities like Baltimore, where county executives, mayors, and other officials have continued to assure residents that they're committed to their safety. Thalia, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Thalia, a 2016 Pew Research Study survey found that Maryland has seen the largest net gain of unauthorized immigrants among the states during the previous decade. That means more undocumented immigrants came and stayed in Maryland than in any other state. What do you think has made this state and Baltimore so desirable?
Sure. I think that many families are attracted to certain neighborhoods just based on whether they have family that's already there, or they have friends, or they've heard from a friend of a friend that this city is affordable, or for whatever reason this section or this neighborhood is affordable. And so I think I can't say that I know like the facts why people are coming here, but I think just anecdotally from what I've heard is like, you know, we've had family here, or it's proximity to, you know, New York, to DC. People have found more job opportunities, I think, in this area. I'm from LA, and so like I know that LA is very heavily populated with immigrants, and so like there's already a lot of people competing for the certain jobs that they do, whether it be in construction or farm work. And so those jobs are sort of already taken there. There's a lot of affordable places to live here, I think. And especially in Highland Town, I think what draws a lot of people to that neighborhood is that there are so many Latino businesses there. Once you have, you know, the grocery store and you're able to buy products from your home country, you want to be near those stores. And so the more Highland Town grows and the more Latino businesses grow, I think it's just bringing more and more people there. And just to clarify, I know you mentioned that Baltimore was a sanctuary city, and I think that the term sanctuary city causes a lot of confusion. I think in part because sanctuary city doesn't have one single definition, right? So what sanctuary city sort of means is that it kind of, there is some sort of limit between police and ICE cooperation. And in some cities that could be like a law or a policy, but I know that Mayor Pew previously had made sure back when she was mayor to clarify that Baltimore was a welcoming city and not necessarily a sanctuary city. I'm not sure what her particular preference was to make the distinction, but it basically limits police from assisting ICE in making arrests or like questioning residents about their immigration status. And so I just wanted to sort of clarify that we're not necessarily a sanctuary city, but I think it's sort of, we're more like immigrant friendly, I think.
Can you tell us about the last week? What's been the reaction to the president's threat of immigration raids from the people you've spoken with?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, this is nothing new, right? People live in fear constantly on a daily basis. People are, you know, worried that some sort of small encounter with police, such as like having your taillight broken from your car or not wearing a seatbelt or something small like that, can result in their deportation. And it shouldn't, but people are scared. And so some of the people that I've spoken to recently in the past week, you know, some people were very worried. Other people sort of recognize that this, or what they said is that it's a political strategy, that they think, you know, the Trump administration is trying to cause fear in the community. And immigration advocates and immigrants themselves were saying that, you know, well, so we don't want to pay too much attention to it because we know that this is sort of what he wants to do, is scare us. But then I also heard from other people who were taking precautions, such as not wanting to leave their home at all unless necessary. Or this one woman told me, she lived in Northwest Baltimore. She said that she, anytime this comes up, because she was like, this has come up before, threats about mass raids. She's like, anytime I hear about that, I go to the grocery store and I like pick up a bunch of groceries for the week, and I just try not to leave my house. I leave for work, but after work, I come directly home. And then she kind of made a joke. It's funny. She was like, which is good, actually, because I don't spend a lot of money. Yeah, but I think generally a lot of people are scared and worried. Others sort of just think that it's a political strategy.
And what happened in Howard County? How does that fit in with the raids the president tweeted about?
Sure. So what happened in Howard County on Wednesday was we ended up getting a tip from someone who said that he has workers who have their visas, who told him that there had been some raids in the Long Reach area in Columbia. And so he had said that one of his workers' nephews was taken. And then we had also received an email from Howard County Police that ICE had informed them that there was going to be some sort of activity in the area. However, Howard County Police made it clear that they weren't going to be cooperating in these arrests and that ICE hadn't asked them to cooperate. And so, you know, so I headed to that area and I was driving around to see if I saw anything happening so that I can confirm, you know, whether this was a mass arrest situation or if people, if they were serving some sort of warrant or if they were just stopping people randomly, because we have seen that happen across the country. And so once I was there, I didn't really see anything. I stopped at a shopping center in the Long Reach area. And once I was there, I stopped at a gas station to get some water. And I talked to some folks who were standing at the gas station. And one man, Jimmy Johnson was his name. He told me that he had actually witnessed what happened in the morning. And so he said that at around 5 in the morning, he saw several ICE vehicles. And I asked him, well, how did you know they were ICE vehicles? And he's like, well, the men were wearing shirts that said ICE. Other men had just white t-shirts. And so he said he saw about 6 to 9 guys get taken away. And so in speaking to other people who witnessed this particular incident, one other person said, you know, I also saw these guys getting taken away. But ICE never confirmed that they were there, and we still haven't been able to sort of get the official word from ICE. They said that they don't comment on particular operations that they do. And so ICE didn't confirm that they were making arrests. However, we're still working and trying to find other ways that we can confirm that. But just from eyewitness accounts, there was that particular incident at the gas station. And my colleague spoke to an immigration lawyer who said that sort of based on what we described that people saw and what Howard County Police told us that ICE was doing, she suspected that ICE had, you know, been searching for a specific person, and that while they do that, while they are maybe serving some sort of warrant or trying to go after one particular person, it doesn't stop them from going after other people. So she said that you know, they may have broadened their scope from just door knocking, looking for specific people, to just sort of picking up people. But we weren't able to confirm that.
deportation of immigrants isn't a one-and-done scenario. Undocumented immigrants, they have rights, and they are afforded at least some due process in court. Can you tell us some of the instructions or legal advice advocates are giving out to people facing arrest or deportation?
Yeah, so a lot of the folks that I've spoken to at CASA, which is an immigrant rights organization, a nonprofit here in Baltimore, they've been hosting a lot of Know Your Rights workshops. And I went to one of those on Monday, I believe. And so, you know, they're advising communities that regardless of your immigration status, you have certain rights and protections which are guaranteed by the Constitution. And so folks at CASA are reminding people, like, you have the right to remain silent. If you're arrested by police or ICE, you have to tell them that, you know, you're exercising your right to remain silent. They also, CASA provides, like, a right to remain silent card. So if these folks don't speak English, they can hand, you know, police or ICE this card. And so you also have protection from illegal searches and arrests. So, you know, if police or immigration officers come to your house and they suspect that someone who came into the country illegally lives there, they have to have a warrant that is signed by a judge. There has been some cases in other states where people have seen sort of these warrants that are issued by ICE that don't have a signature. And so immigration advocates have been, you know, trying to train communities to know, like, this is what a warrant is supposed to look like. This is how you know whether it's been signed by a judge. And so they advise people, you know, ask the ICE officer to pass the court order under the door and make sure that it's signed. So another resource that CASA has been giving out, they went door to door last Friday giving out a packet of information that went over rights that people can exercise. And so that packet can also be found online at wearecasa.org. So they recommend sort of referring to some of these packets, which they have in various languages, not just English and Spanish, for anyone that is interested.
The ongoing debate about border security and illegal immigration has deeply divided our country. Many Marylanders think these raids are necessary. What arguments do undocumented immigrants use to justify their status here? What's it like in the countries that they've left that makes even a precarious situation like this more desirable?
Yeah, a lot of people right now, and specifically from Central America, Guatemala, El Salvador, they're fleeing a lot of violence in their home countries. They're fleeing extreme poverty. There's, you know, a huge problem with gangs in El Salvador. And so people are coming here, you know, to seek refuge. And that's not to say all people, right? And that's the problem in a lot of these immigration conversations is that immigrants get lumped into like this one big category. And there's, you know, there's people coming here for either economic opportunities, job opportunities, or it could be that they are fleeing a dangerous situation in their home country. Everybody's different. And there isn't like an easy path to citizenship. And I think a lot of what I see is that there's just a lot of misconceptions about our immigration system, which is extremely complex and difficult to understand. A lot of the people I've also spoken to, you know, have shared with me, like, the reason why we go on this dangerous journey to cross the border is because risking it this one time is worth it rather than to stay in a country where, you know, you can't provide for your children economically or there is no sort of opportunities there for them in terms of education. And so that's a lot of what I hear. A lot of the times it's the same story. It's I didn't have money in my country. I had a lack of, you know, resources there. And so I was looking for a better opportunity for me and my family. And so we came here and yes, I might be deported, but it's sort of worth being here while we are here because we're able to survive. You know, I'm also on the audience engagement team here at the Baltimore Sun. And so a part of that is that I'm on Facebook and Twitter constantly monitoring some of the comments and the messages that we get. And I see, like, every time we report on immigration, it's the same thing. It's these illegals need to go home. Why did they come here illegally? They're breaking our laws. And that's the thing. Like I mentioned earlier, immigrants are often lumped into like one big category. Like they all came here illegally. And that's not the truth. A lot of the people that are coming to the border now are being processed at a port of entry. When you go to the border and you go to a port of entry, you are attempting to enter the country legally. And the asylum process, if people decide to go that route, can take a really long time. The other route to come here legally would be through work, which is, you know, the visa program, such as the H-2B visas, which an example that would be the migrant workers on the Eastern Shore who work in the crab houses. They're all here legally on visas. And the other avenue is that if you have family. However, that route can take decades. And I know this in speaking to a lot of immigration lawyers who tell me, you know, like there is no easy way to get into this country legally. And a lot of the times people don't have the time to wait. It's either life or death. And so they decide, I'm going to come here any way that I can to survive. And then sort of worry about the legality of it afterwards.
You mentioned immigrants being lumped together in a group. What do you think are some of the most common misconceptions about the immigration debate and the immigrant community, not just Baltimore's, but across the country?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that everybody's here illegally, and that's not the case. Or even using the term undocumented isn't very accurate, because there are people who have documents. They have asylum documents that are waiting to be processed, or they have some sort of visa sort of process that they're trying to go through. So it's I think that's the biggest thing that I see, is that everyone assumes that everyone here has entered the country illegally, and that's not the case. Another misconception is that assuming that all of the immigrants coming into the country right now speak Spanish. There are a lot of indigenous people that have been coming that don't even speak Spanish. And I have heard of cases where somebody arrived at the border and they were detained by Customs and Border Protections, and they're not able to communicate because no one there speaks their indigenous language. And then, you know, they're expected to go through this complicated process and fill out all this paperwork, and they have no idea what they're signing. A lot of the times people are just like signing away their rights. We've seen people sign away like custody of their children. And it's just like simply because they can't understand what they're signing. They can't read that. And so, you know, I think that's a big misconception, is that everybody's Spanish speaking. And that's not the case. And so there's also this false narrative around, which has been elevated with some of what President Trump has claimed, that immigrants cost U.S. taxpayers a bunch of money. Sometimes I've seen those kind of comments on our Facebook page, like, oh, like illegal immigrants are costing us a bunch of money. However, this is not true. And in fact, undocumented immigrants contribute billions of dollars a year in federal taxes. There's like several reports on this, which can be found easily online if you Google it. But often what undocumented immigrants do is that using an ITIN number, which is an individual taxpayer ID number, which was created by the IRS, that allows people to file their taxes even though they don't have a social security number. So basically, people, undocumented immigrants, pay taxes, but they don't get, you know, they don't get a tax refund, nor do they get social security or Medicare. And not to mention, they also contribute to local economies every day because they pay sales and property taxes like everyone else. So that kind of ties into this other myth that undocumented immigrants use up all of these public services, such as food stamps. This is also not true. Unauthorized workers aren't eligible for federal benefits. And another misconception, and something that I hear a lot and that has been sort of in some of the national rhetoric, is that, you know, immigrants are all criminals. Being in the country, being unauthorized in the country, is not a crime. It's a crime once you enter illegally, but that's not the case for everyone. And there's been several studies done that there's actually no correlation between, like, are undocumented immigrants, like, committing a lot of crimes? Like, they haven't found, like, a causal relationship that, like, undocumented immigrants bring higher crime rates. And so that's most of the things that I see just on Facebook, or I think just general misconceptions about immigrants.
Thalia Juarez is a digital journalist with the Baltimore Sun. Thalia, where can people check out more of your work?
Yeah, people can follow me on Twitter. I'm at _ Thalia Juarez, which is THALIAJUAREZ, and at thebaltimoresun.com. If you just search for my name, you should find me.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Newsroom Edition. Thanks for joining us. For more audio from the Baltimore Sun, head over to baltimoresun.com or wherever you get your audio. And while times change, the need for quality journalism doesn't. So please consider subscribing to the Baltimore Sun at baltimoresun.com/subscribe. For producers Hallie Miller and Steve Early, thanks again, and we'll see you back here next time.